14th meeting of the City Council, and I'd like to ask you all to stand while Councilmember Aguilar leads us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before I commence with the special orders of the day, I would like my staff, Judy Walsh Jackson and Albert Velasquez, to show the council and the community a banner that was given to us just this afternoon. And it was, maybe if you go down to the front, it'll show better. But the banner was given to us this afternoon by one of our favorite residences. I still think you can't see the bottom of it. Yeah, so you need to go down the steps. But the banner was created by one of our favorite residences, Norbert Stein, who happens to be our unofficial poet laureate, and he is also 102 years old. And he still creates these graphics, so he did that for us. So if any one of the council members want to use this banner for events that they're having, it'll be available for you to use. So I thought it was really nice. It's a nice streetscape of downtown 3rd Avenue. So, thank you, Norbert Stein. And Deputy Mayor Bensoussan has a question.
Mr. Stein has been the unofficial poet of Chula Vista for so long, I was wondering why we don't make him official.
Well, we should do that. Is that a premature referral, Deputy
yes,
Mayor?
Yes.
Okay, we'll consider it a premature referral to council when we get over to the council comments that we've been calling him the unofficial poet laureate, and at 102, maybe it's about time he becomes official. Okay, great. So we're going to have a great city council meeting. The first thing that I would like to do is to invite Mario Orso and Ana Ruth Robles to come up and take their oath of office. And the oath of office will be administered by the city clerk. And I'll have Deputy Mayor Bensoussan present you with your certificates of appointment. Oh, I forgot
Madam
to
Mayor.
Call roll.
Can we just note for the record that everybody, all
okay.
council members are
yes.
present?
Okay.
Thank
so,
you.
So, my bad. I forgot to ask for the roll call, but we're all here because we're not all there. Okay. Okay, so if you'll come down and administer the oath of office, please come up.
Please raise your right hands. Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which you are about to enter?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And if you have family members here that would like to take your picture or join you in a picture, you may invite them up as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for serving. Congratulations.
And while we're waiting for the pictures, a little bit about Mr. Orso. He is the deputy director of Caltrans District 11 and has a very significant background in history. He's I don't know the exact title, but he documents all the tribal history within the state of California, so he's got really a great background. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Robles, Ana Robles, is 18 years old and registered to vote immediately after turning 18. And her particular seat on the Housing Advisory Committee is one where a resident that lives in one of our affordable housing communities is a representative. So I really congratulate her for her early interest in civic government. Thank you very much. Next, I would like to invite our library director, Betty Wozniss, to introduce our Employee of the Month and also the Kindergarten Boot Camp team. Welcome.
Honorable Mayor and Council, thank you for this opportunity. We very much appreciate the opportunity to congratulate five of our outstanding staff members. This is the Kindergarten Boot Camp team. Diana Isla, right here. Bobby Birch, Christy Bystrack, Jackie Macias, and Esther Rodriguez. They have developed and implemented an outstanding effort, the Kindergarten Boot Camp. It's not really a boot camp. It's a free week-long introduction to kindergarten for our youngest Chula Vistans. Here, preschoolers learn to share, take turns, listen, and practice pre-kindergarten skills like coloring and scissors. It's an extension of the library's mission as a nucleus of learning, education, and culture, as our recently completed strategic vision plan states. The program started in 2012 as an offshoot of Christy Bystrack's master's thesis for her master's degree in education. We started it at South Chula Vista Library with Christy, Diana, and Bobby. The literacy wing at South was once again transformed to meet our community's needs. To expand the program, Bobby brought her skills to the Civic Center Library and Esther stepped in at South. Jackie and Bobby then pioneered its opening at the Civic Center Library. We're now in the middle of four summer sessions at two locations, all completely filled. We think we have totaled over 3,000 families who've participated in this in the last 3 years. The families are very appreciative. We know that 90% of the children who come through our kindergarten boot camp have and would have no other preschool experience. Just a few of the appreciative quotes. My son did not attend preschool, so I thought this program would be helpful for him. He's learned social skills and how to work with others without his family around. Thank you for providing this program. It truly gave him a good understanding of what to expect. I wanted my son to stay in a program during the summer. He showed maturity after the first day. My daughter loved coming here and felt confident when I left her in class. Great job. The teachers are welcoming and great resources for the kids and families. My 4 and 5-year-olds will be going to pre-K and kindergarten in July, and I wanted them to have some exposure to skills, especially this high-quality free program. We love this program. Please continue. Kudos to all the teachers and organizers. We're fortunate to have the support of the Altruista Club, one of our great civic organizations here in Chula Vista, both with their volunteer help and by applying for a great neighborhood grant for us in the amount of $5,000, which we competed for and won. They competed for it for us to help support this program. As you know, increasing kindergarten readiness, promoting school success, and raising our high school graduation rate are some of the most important things that we can do to attract quality employers to Chula Vista with high-paying jobs to improve our quality and prosperity of life. And this group here, these wonderful people, just another example of the shining stars that are our staff. Their dedication is outstanding. Kindergarten boot camp is just one more thing that they accomplish in their very busy weeks, serving so many Chula Vistans of all ages with countless acts of kindness, initiative, and encouragement to help our neighbors improve themselves and their families. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And perhaps we would have a moment. Would you ladies like to say something? Staff members like to say anything? Thank you, something like that? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to provide this program to our community. We saw a need, and we definitely are enjoying the chance to provide these skills for their families and to work with their kids and also the families in Chula Vista. So thank you.
Anyone else from the team? Okay, well, thank you so much for having that wonderful program for our children and our families. I know that when I was a little kid, my love of reading came from my mom, who took us to the library even before we could read, and she always had us there. So, and it was always at the F Street Library, too, so I really appreciate those memories and all that that will enrich our families of the future as well. Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Oh, yes, the family members, please join us.
I think there's some other family members. There we go.
And library family? And family members.
I appreciate that.
Oh, dear. Ms. Wozniak, I apologize. I had a proclamation to read, and I'll ask Deputy Bensusan to go down while I read the proclamation, and now I understand why you had that blank stare.
I like to think of it as a neutral look, but yeah. Okay.
So this is a proclamation commending the Kindergarten Boot Camp team as Employees of the Month for July 2015. Whereas the Library Department is proud to nominate the Kindergarten Boot Camp team as its Employee Group of the Year, and whereas Christy Bistrick, Bobby Birch, Jackie Macias, Esther Rodriguez-Para, Diana Isla are key employees who have made this program a success, and whereas Kindergarten Boot Camp is a free week-long opportunity for our Chula Vista preschoolers to have a taste of what kindergarten is all about, the students practice school readiness skills such as taking turns, listening, coloring, and the basic of letters and numbers, so they will have a great start when kindergarten begins. Whereas parents and caregivers have an opportunity to meet and share, support each other as well. Whereas Kindergarten Boot Camp officially was developed by Christy Bistrick as a thesis project for her master's education in June of 2013. Since then, the library has held 15 sessions at two locations with over 300 families participating. Whereas Kindergarten Boot Camp won the Letha H. Brown Award from the Altruista organization for outstanding literacy project in the southwestern United States. In addition, it was awarded a Great Neighborhood Challenge grant from the San Diego Foundation. And whereas many neighborhood volunteers contribute to the program's happy and productive atmosphere, Diane, Christy, Esther, Jackie, and Bobby have gone above and beyond in commitment and planning and mastery of the new skills that demonstrate what it means to be to successfully reinvent public library services in the 21st century. Now, therefore, I, Mary Casillas Salas, 40th Mayor of the City of Chula Vista, do hereby commend the Kindergarten Boot Camp team as Chula Vista Library Department's Employees of the Year and the City's Employees of the Month for July 2015. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's a much better recognition. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's better, right, Betty? Okay, so our third special orders of the day today is really awesome, too, because this is in recognition of what I hope is a new tradition in the city of Chula Vista. This past 4th of July, we had seven block parties around the city of Chula Vista with a 4th of July Rock the Block party. And it's something that we initiated in Chula Vista to encourage community engagement and communication with their neighbors. And so during the Rock the Block, what we did is the city of Chula Vista waived the fees for closing off the streets. And I had the opportunity to visit several of the block parties, and they were really a great success. And many of the people that I talked to said that the city's decision to waive the fees for the block party was the impetus of the neighborhood getting together and putting on block parties. And so I really want to thank all the people that did this, because it really takes a tremendous amount of coordination and planning on the part of those people that put together the block party. And there were some that started a fund to actually pay for things like jumpies for the kids and games and all of that. So the neighbors pitched in their work and their finances to do these awesome things. So I want to show you a little PowerPoint presentation of just some of the activities that were going on around the city of Chula Vista and how much fun our community was having on the 4th of July. So, Albert, would you start the presentation? Is it a slideshow? Oh, it's just going through the pictures? Okay, there you go. They're a little small to see, but you can get the gist of it, that there was just a lot of fun to be had at these block parties. So while Albert is doing the PowerPoint, what I'd like to do is I'd like to recognize the following four folks for organizing their 4th of July block parties. And so when I call your name, if you could approach the dais, and that would be Adrian Calendario of Gretchen Road and Rachel Gonzalez of McCain Valley Court, Misty Propst of La Mancha Place, and Cynthia Courtner of Creekside Place, and a representative of Katie George of Melrose Avenue, and Adelia Addy Otterson of Napa Avenue, and Don Johnson of Quiet Trails Drive. If you can all come down to the dais, and we'll join you for a photo. Thank you.
Participants, please.
Oh, and block party participants. Gretchen Road. Who's Gretchen Road?
Right here.
Right here. And La Mancha Place.
That's ours.
I heard you guys had an awesome party.
Cane Valley Court.
Uh-huh. Creek Place. Creek Place. Any representative from Creek Place?
Melrose?
No.
Melrose Avenue.
Melrose? Napa?
There you go.
And Quiet Trails Drive. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your community service. You want to turn around and get a picture? Thank you very much. So our next presentation is a proclamation to Recreation Director Christy McClurg Huckabee and Public Works Director Richard Hopkins, proclaiming July 15th as Park and Recreation Month in Chula Vista. So I'd like to ask our park guy, Steve Meissen, to present both proclamations to Christy and to Mr. Hopkins. Whereas parks makes a better life through parks and recreation programs, and the City Council of Chula Vista urges all its residents to recognize that parks and recreation enriches the lives of its residents and visitors, and whereas the residents of Chula Vista, businesses, community organizations, and visitors benefit from a wide range of parks, trails, and open space, sports fields, tennis courts, facilities, and programs provided by the City of Chula Vista, and whereas park and recreation programs build healthy and active communities that aid in the prevention of chronic diseases and provide therapeutic recreation services for those who are mentally and physically disabled, and whereas California Parks and Recreation Society and the National Recreation Parks Association have worked to promote celebrating July as Parks and Recreation Month, and whereas the U.S. House of Representatives has designated July as Parks and Recreation Month, and the State of California Legislature has declared July as Parks Make a Better Life Month, now therefore I, Mary Casillas Salas, 40th Mayor of the City of Chula Vista, do hereby proclaim July 2015 as Park and Recreation Month in the City of Chula Vista, and in doing so, urge all its residents to use and enjoy park trails, open space, facilities, and recreation opportunities. And thank you for keeping our parks and our recreation facilities in top-notch condition. Thank you.
Okay. You're here. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if they didn't put their word to go with that.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, we're really excited about our relationship with the Recreation Department and Public Works Parks, as well as all operations in Public Works. These capes that you see go along with the awareness campaign from California Park and Recreation Society, which is our California Society for Recreation and Park Professionals. So at our conference this last year, everybody was a superhero and got these capes. So we thought to combine our efforts with our fantastic crew that are out there day in and day out, we chose to go with the orange color as well, so we can blend our new aqua with the orange.
Okay. Thank you, Christy, and thank you, Madam Mayor, for the proclamation. And we, too, are very excited about the work that we're able to accomplish, and I think we get a lot of good feedback from the citizens, especially this time of year. It's certainly fitting to make this Parks and Rec Month, as there's so many folks outside and enjoying our climate. And we do have some folks here tonight that actually do the work from both our departments, if we could invite them down. I've got IQ and Agnes. I think Agnes is here. Bring their crews down for a photo. And I think, Christy, your crew is here as well with capes.
Yes. And showing off our new shirts.
So we welcome all the members of the Parks and Recreation Parks Department and the Recreation Department to come for a photo. And I also want to thank everyone from Public Works for the awesome Carne Asada celebration that you had last Friday at the Public Works Yard. Thank you very much, and enjoy your special month. And next we'll have a presentation by Special Olympics San Diego County Regional Director Karen Terra regarding Special Olympics World Games and South County host town participation. Please come on up and welcome. And
Yeah. Honorable Mayor and Council, briefly before I give the microphone over to Karen, I'd just like to say thank you for supporting the San Diego South County host town portion of the Special Olympics. We are so excited to share this event with you, and just want to remind you that next Wednesday, July 22nd, is Chula Vista's portion of the host town events, where we're hosting delegates from Puerto Rico and Argentina at the Olympic Training Center. We kick off the day with a welcome by the mayor and then the director of the training center, Tracy Lamb, and 1984 Olympic gold medalist Joaquin Cruz. Delegates will then get to train with Olympians and Paralympians. And then after lunch, they will have the opportunity to receive commemorative medals, gold medals, and stand on the Olympic podium and take souvenir pictures of themselves at the training center. So we're excited to give them this once-in-a-lifetime experience, and we couldn't do it without community support. So I just wanted to thank, obviously, the council, but also local organizations who've been integral in making this event a success, including the Kiwanis, Rotary, Lions Club, Girl Scouts, the Olympic Training Center, the YMCA, Chula Vista Recreation, and the Chula Vista Fire Department. And now, here's Karen.
Okay, thank you, Olga, and thank you, everybody, for hosting these athletes. I'm the regional director for Special Olympics in San Diego County, so we cover all of the region. Right, locally, we have about almost 1,500 athletes. Those are people with intellectual disabilities. So the World Games are coming, and I'll talk about that in a second, but we're here all the time. So we have competitions that serve our population all year long, every year. And but what's coming in next week, actually, gives me chills to even say that, is World Games. So on July 25th, 7,000 athletes from around the world, from 177 countries, will be coming to, well, they're going to arrive in LA, Los Angeles, and they will be participating in the 2015 World Games. This is much like the Olympics, where we have these every 2 years. The Winter Olympics will be in Austria in 2 years. This is going to be larger than the 1984 Olympics. So it's a huge deal. So 3 days before the games start, so that's a week from today, the athletes will arrive, and then we will have what's known as this host town, which Chula Vista is a part of. So we have set 8 host towns in San Diego County. We're going to be hosting 1,400 of these 7,000 athletes. So I know it's a lot of numbers. So 1,400 athletes from around the world, from 17 countries. So Chula Vista is hosting Argentina, Puerto Rico. As Olga said, some of the other countries are Costa Rica, Ghana, Swaziland, Thailand, Ecuador, Togo, India, Brunei, Bulgaria, Uganda, Egypt, Hong Kong, Albania, Burkina Faso. Does anybody know where that is? It tested our geography as well. And Finland. So there'll be a lot of activities. We're really excited about the Olympic Training Center's activities that are going on. The Padres are also going to be hosting all 1,400 delegates. So Special Olympics, what this is, it's beyond sports. It changes lives of people with intellectual disabilities. You know, I am honored and privileged to be the regional director for this amazing organization. I pinch myself every day that this is what I do for a living. But I can never really talk about what the programs do, the impact that they have on our athletes, better than our athletes themselves. So I am pleased and honored to introduce one of our global messengers, Janice Brooks, who is also an athlete, and she'll tell you a little bit about herself, but also the effect that our programs have on her.
Welcome, Janice.
Thank you, ma'am.
Can I lift up a little bit?
Yeah, just lean into it. Okay. Thank you, Chula Vista City Council, for taking the time to hear me speak about how amazing Special Olympics has been in my life, as well as in the lives of other Special Olympic athletes. I have been participating with the Special Olympics in San Diego for 5 years. My two brothers, Sammy and Josh, and I compete in athletics, where we run. I do shot put and do relay races. Normally, I beat my brothers. But when they win, I am proud of them, and I am their biggest cheerleader. During the races, we have to rely on other teammates. But it's okay because we are the best whenever we win or lose. While participating in Special Olympics, I'm able to make lifelong friends. Not only are the athletes my friends, but coaches and volunteers also become my friends. I've stayed in contact with some of them. I've also learned to approach people with confidence. A few weeks ago, I saw Rafer Johnson, who is an Olympic athlete in athletics and a Special Olympic leader. I went up to him and introduced myself. He told me that I am special. That made me feel good inside. Another activity I was involved in was the torch run, police torch run. I was able to hold and pass the torch to another athlete. Let me be honest, it was a little heavy, but still fun to do. Special Olympics is an activity that people who have intellectual disabilities can participate in a variety of sports year-round. Some of the sporting options are athletics, swimming, bocce, gymnastics, and soccer. All of those supporting events are free of charge to athletes that have intellectual disabilities. The Special Olympic organization is in over 170 countries. The World Games for Special Olympics is coming to Los Angeles for the first time at the end of July. There will be 7,000 athletes who will be participating in the games. San Diego will soon be honored to host several of these athletes in this great city. I can't wait for them to see how generous and supportive San Diegans can be. I hope they can go back to their countries with great memories of our city. Thank you for your time and support of Special Olympics.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
She wanted to know if you wanted to ask any
questions.
Any questions from the council? Thank you very much, and I can't wait to go to the opening on Friday or Saturday?
Wednesday.
Okay. All right. I'll be there tomorrow then. Okay. I'll see you then.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
With that, we have a very special proclamation to be issued to retiring Sergeant Carlos Valdivia from our police department. I'll ask Council Member McCann to go down and present the proclamation to you. Welcome. Commending Sergeant Carlos Valdivia upon 27 years of dedicated service. Whereas Carlos Valdivia began his career with the City of Chula Vista Police Department as a police officer on July 8, 1988, promoted to police agent March 28, 1997, and promoted to police sergeant on December 10, 2004. And whereas during his 27 years of service, Carlos held numerous assignments, including field training officer, JUDGE unit detective, crimes of violence unit gang agent, special investigations unit detective, school resource sergeant, and patrol sergeant. And whereas Carlos has been invested in the department's future holding following collateral duties, use of force sergeant, CNT member, and VSA examiner. And whereas elected to serve on the Police Officers Association as a board of director, Carlos has successfully, without hesitation, served on the board for over 15 years. Whereas elected to serve on the Police Officers Association as a board of director, whereas Carlos's career has been recognized with numerous commendations and letters of appreciation from elected officials, law enforcement agencies, department heads, residences and business owners, supervisors, and peers, and whereas Sergeant Carlos Valdivia retired from the department on July the 8th, 2015, therefore I, Mary Casillas Salas, the 40th mayor of the city of Chula Vista, California, do hereby commence Sergeant Carlos Valdivia on 27 years of dedicated service to the city of Chula Vista and express this city's deepest appreciation and gratitude for his outstanding performance of duty. Thank you very much for your service.
Madam Mayor, council members, it's been an honor and a pleasure to serve the citizens and the community of the city of Chula Vista. As they say, all good things must come to an end. This is the end of my career. It's been a lot of fun. I then now pass the baton, as they say, to my son, who's also a Chula Vista police officer, has been hired for about 18 months now. So I'll pass the baton to him. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'm sure he's going to have illustrious service as you are. And would you like to say a few words, Lieutenant Sally?
Captain. Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. Chief Bejarano sends his regrets. He's on a well-deserved vacation, probably winging his way back as we speak right now. But I know that he would want me to convey the department's deepest appreciation to Carlos. I know that the chief has an extraordinary amount of respect for you, Carlos, and the work that you've done for the department. 27 years is no small feat. In a city. When you look at our ranks, how many officers actually make it through a grueling career to finish out in the patrol division like Carlos did, pushing a beat car and supervising line-level officers in the service of our city is a tremendous feat after 27 years. It's pretty hard on the body and the mind. He came out fairly well on both fronts. So, and again, he did mention our program that the chief instituted is we don't let our employees leave unless they bring in their replacement. He did that with his son. So that's a notice to all future employees. You got to bring somebody to replace yourself when you leave. So again, Carlos, phenomenal job. You leave a legacy. We appreciate it, and we love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We certainly do appreciate your work, and I wanted to let you know that they did have a wonderful walkout ceremony for him last week. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend, but I know that that you had the best thoughts of all your officers with you. Ms. Bensusan, is that an old one? Okay, thank you. Any other council members wanting to make a comment? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you once again. Have a wonderful retirement and come back and visit. I know you will. Thank you. With that, we'll go on to the consent agenda, and I do not have any requests from the public to speak. Council Member Aguilar?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to pull item 14 for comments.
Okay. So with that, item 14 is pulled. Okay. And let me see.
John, you had your conflict.
I do not want to pull item 15, but I did want to congratulate staff on this particular item. This is where we negotiated fees for our no, excuse me. That is 14, isn't it? Yeah, 14. Okay. Anyway, item 14 is where the city negotiated fees that would reduce the amount of money that we have to pay for our 457 accounts, and I really want to commend the...
commend.
It was that last Diet Coke I had. Okay, so I would like to commend you on what you did. And did you want to pull it, or did you want to just make a comment about it? Ms. Aguilar.
Either one. I'm not sure what the difference is. I just want to talk about it and maybe ask a couple of questions.
Okay, so that is pulling it.
Okay.
So with that, Ms. Bensusan, Mr. McCann, do you want to wait till the discussion comes up for?
I have a.
Oh, okay.
I actually was going to make a motion.
Okay, great.
I was going to make a motion to approve the consent calendar with item 14 being pulled, but I also have a conflict of interest on 8B, so I will pull that item. So moved.
Oh, wait a minute. If you have a conflict, can he, city attorney, can he pull it?
He doesn't need to pull it, but Mr. McCann's comments will indicate that his vote on item 8B will be an abstention on that item.
Okay.
So I will abstain from item 8B.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Bensusan made the second? John, you made the motion.
Yeah.
Okay, and Ms. Bensusan seconds with 14 being pulled and an abstention by Councilmember McCann on 8B. With that, Madam Clerk.
Item 1, approval of minutes of May 26, June 2, June 4, 2015. Item 2, letter of resignation from London Maservi, Board of Appeals and Advisors. 3, ordinance of the City of Chula Vista amending Section 10.08.110 of Chula Vista Municipal Code relating to the definition of holidays for parking meters and zones. Second reading and adoption. 4, ordinance of the City of Chula Vista amending Municipal Code Section 2.05.010 relating to the establishment of unclassified positions to add Administrative Secretary, FA Intelligence Analyst, FA Senior Intelligence Analyst, and FA Supervisory Intelligence Analyst, and to eliminate the position titles of Chief Service Officer, FA Public Safety Analyst, FA Senior Public Safety Analyst, Transit Coordinator, and Transit Manager. Second reading and adoption, 4/5 vote required. 5, ordinance of the City of Chula Vista amending Section 14.20 of the Chula Vista Municipal Code relating to stormwater management and discharge control. Second reading and adoption. 6, resolution of the City Council approving the agreements to provide on-call subsurface utility engineering services for various capital improvement projects between the City and AirX Utility Surveyors Incorporated and between the City and Cardno Incorporated. 7, resolution of the City Council authorizing submittal of federal fiscal year 2015-16 Highway Safety Improvement Program Cycle 7 grant applications and committing matching funds therefor. Item 8A, resolution of the City Council authorizing the levy of maximum special taxes for fiscal year 2015-16 within Community Facilities Districts 97-1, 97-2, 97-3, 98-1, 98-2, 98-3, 99-1, 99-2, 2000-1, 2001-1, 2001-2, 07I, 08I, 08M, 09M, 11M, 12I, 12M, 13I and 13M, and delegating to the city manager or his designee the authority to prepare and submit a certified list of all parcels subject to special tax, including the amount of the tax to the county auditor. Item 8B, resolution of the City Council authorizing the levy of maximum special taxes for fiscal year 2015-16 within Community Facilities Districts 06I and 07M, and delegating to the city manager or his designee the authority to prepare and submit a certified list of all parcels subject to the special tax, including the amount of the tax, to the county auditor. Item 9, resolution of the City Council accepting bids and awarding a contract for the Otay Ranch Village 1AD972 maintenance project to Carolino and Sun Engineering Corporation in the amount of $211,097.10, waiving City Council Policy 574-01 and authorizing the expenditure of all available contingency funds in an amount not to exceed $31,664.56. Item 10, resolution of the City Council accepting bids, awarding the contract for the Naples Street sidewalk installation and Palomar Street sidewalk improvements along North Side from Orange Avenue to 3rd Avenue to Portillo Concrete Incorporated in the amount of $391,618, waiving City Council Policy 574-01, authorizing the Director of Public Works to execute all change orders and authorizing the expenditure of all available contingency funds in an amount not to exceed $58,742. Item 11, resolution of the City Council accepting a grant of $20,000 from the Chula Vista Charitable Foundation to fund the parking lot to parklet project at Civic Center branch of the Chula Vista Public Library and appropriating funds accordingly for fifth vote required. Item 12, resolution of the City Council waiving the competitive bid requirements, authorizing the city manager or his designee to execute an agreement between South Bay Community Services and the City of Chula Vista for the management and implementation of a home investment partnership program, tenant-based rental assistance program, and authorizing the city manager or his designee to execute the initial agreement and authorizing the purchasing agent to execute 3 one-year options to extend the agreement based on availability of home entitlement funds from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Item 13, resolution of the City Council accepting $21,599 from U.S. Department of Homeland Security and appropriating funds therefore for fifth vote required. Item 14 has been pulled. 15, ordinance of the City of Chula Vista amending Chapter 19.02 of the Chula Vista Municipal Code by adding Section 19.02.060 related to indemnity provisions for city-issued permits. First reading, end of consent calendar.
All members vote. It passes unanimously with Mr. McCann abstaining on 8B and Patricia Aguilar pulling item 14. And with that, I'd like to hear any, if we can bring back item 14 for discussion.
Want me to start?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to echo your remarks about how important this is and congratulating staff in the finance department for making this happen. And I can't find it right now, but I thought when I read the item, there are about 800 employees that participate in the Poor 57 plan or the tax deferred plan. Is that right?
Approximately.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about 80% or so of employees participate in the program. And if I got it right, what you're doing here by having renegotiated these agreements is that there will be a total savings of $207,500 that will go back to these plan participants. Is that right? So, and this $207,500 that will be distributed among these 800 plus plan participants, that's not a one-time thing. That will be an ongoing thing from year to year. And as the assets in their individual plans increase, the amount will be larger, right? And the savings is whether it's nothing to do with the stock market or the bond market. It's regardless of all of that. So this is really a substantial benefit to employees who participate in the tax deferred program. So I just wanted to thank you for making this happen and for all of your hard work. That's all. Thank you.
Any other questions? Would you like to make the motion?
I would like to make the motion to approve item 14. Read the heading, waive the taxes.
Second.
Item 14A, resolution of the City Council approving an administrative services agreement between ICMA Retirement Corporation and the City of Chula Vista. And 14B, resolution of the City Council approving a second amendment to the Deferred Compensation Plan administration agreement between Nationwide Retirement Solutions and the City of Chula Vista.
All members vote. And it passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Moving on to public comment, this is a time when any member of the public wishing to address the council on an item that is not on the agenda has an opportunity to speak. And I do have several slips, and I will call you in this order. Mr. Ken Thilgen, will you please approach the dais? followed by Mr. Ed Stone and Mary Wang. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and honored council members. My name is Ken Thilchin. I've been a loyal employee with the city for over 30 years. CVA, it was one of the very first employee groups to give, to step up and help the city in 2007-2008 during the Great Recession. We voted to forego 2-4% increases, salary increases. Then as things got worse, we sacrificed more and paid our own negotiated and agreed upon pension contributions in the form of 8% employee paid contributions in order to help the city out in its time of need. This equates to a 16% loss in salary since 2008. We're still behind what we made in 2007. We and our families have suffered and been damaged and harmed by the sacrifices of the past. In fact, we're 14% below the increases that those fine people on Social Security have received since 1980. Taking another retirement benefit away, specifically EPMC, is damaging us even further. Many employees whom I have spoken with at Public Works say the city just doesn't care about us. Now, these negotiated and agreed upon benefits are slowly being stripped away one by one over time. In the past, when we gave up and sacrificed pay increases to help the city out, we were told that we would be remembered. Furthermore, we were also told that when things got better economically, we would be rewarded for our sacrifices. I do not believe that this has happened. The memory of those statements have been forgotten, and it shows. But we have not forgotten because it affects us and our families daily. Instead of rewarding the loyal and hardworking employees who have made the most sacrifice, the city is currently on a hiring spree of new employees. Employees like myself have been standing back and waiting as the economy improves, scratching our heads, wondering, hey, what about us? We gave up a lot to keep the city afloat when they needed it most, and now it feels like they're turning their backs on us. The current accelerated hiring allows the city to maintain a very tight budget with no wiggle room for salary increases unless we give up more benefits, we're being told. The city has hired 139 new employees since June of last year at a great cost to the city. And I think it's great that we're putting people back to work. However, it's very insulting and sends a message to its current hardworking and loyal employees that the city just doesn't care about those who have sacrificed the most in the past. The city and labor unions have negotiated in good faith in 2001 to provide the EPMC benefit instead of a wage increase. We gave up 2% in 2003, 1% in 2004, and 5%. I'm sorry, and 1% in 2005. And suddenly, the city wants to pull the rug out from our negotiated agreement 2 years before it automatically goes away by state law. Giving up wage increases for benefits is always a very hard-fought battle, and sacrifices need to be made. We took employee-paid annual furlough weeks off for 12-plus years in order to pay for the 3% at 60 benefit.
Thank you, Mr. Thilgen.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And I will please ask you respectfully to refrain from clapping. Okay, thank you very much. If you want to clap, go like this. Okay. Okay. So, Mr. Ed Stone.
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Mayor and Council Members. My name is Ed Stone. I'm President of Boot World. We have a store on Palomar Trolley Center on Palomar and Broadway. And we've been there for 18 years. And we're in violation of a code that limits us to use 20% maximum of our windows. And when we Recently, we requested from the landlord to update the windows and try a new system out. Well, the landlord gave us full approval and support. And in fact, if you could show the images here, I'd like everyone to see that. We actually improved the area with these windows. They're very elegant. They're beautiful. Well, that's...
I think you have to do them one by one.
Is that the deal?
One, uh-huh.
Okay. So anyway, here's the view of the window from Palomar Street. And what I'm here asking for is either a waiver, an exemption, or to reexamine this law that is antiquated. Typically, a window, if you use 20%, they've got little signs in it. They're chaotic. They're eclectic. They don't look beautiful. These windows look elegant. They're inviting. They bring people into the shopping center. And I want to share something with you that is factual. Since we changed our windows, our employment, we've had to increase our employment in this store by 50%. We've increased our hours of operation by 27%. We now are open later into the evenings. And I want to show you at nighttime, we have a tremendous problem in this area with vandalism, graffiti, this and other things. Since we've put up these windows like this, we don't have any more problems. The place is well lit, it's attractive, it's inviting, it looks alive. And so I'm asking if for an exemption. And if non-exemption, then to work with you or your staff to come up with some rules, that some laws that work for now. It's not 1970 anymore, and these windows have proven. We do this at our other stores, and it's worked fabulous, nothing but positive results. So I'm asking to be allowed to do something like this. I did have something written, but since I stood up here, I just started running with it. I want to see if there's anything I'm forgetting here. I welcome your comments or questions. We've really improved the area if you've been down in that area with this treatment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stone.
You're welcome.
And because it's not an agendized item, we can't answer you directly, but what I would like to do is to refer you to Eric, would it be? Uh-huh, to Eric Crockett, and he's in the back. And he's available to speak to you.
Oh, terrific. Okay? Thank you
very
much.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
And I believe you asked for the Mary Wang and Stacy
right.
Hudson,
yes.
too.
Her co-worker, yes. Stacy Hudson. I work directly for the owner of the shopping center,
mm-hmm.
and we've been doing business.
Do you
want
to move over? Just there you go.
And our ownership actually has been doing business in the city of Chula Vista since the 1970s. We're the former FedMart owners, and our store we had on Palomar and Broadway. It's now the Target store. So we actually did this ground-up development across the street, the Palomar Trolley Center, which has Foodfulness, Ross, Fala's. It's a very successful center. Our ownership is long-term. We're in it for the long haul. Aesthetics are extremely important to us. We keep the properties well-maintained, clean, neat. And as far as signage is concerned, we certainly are in support of creative signage to bring additional business into the shopping center and business into the city of Chula Vista. So we certainly support Boot World in that endeavor. And again, Boot World has been our tenant since 1998 for over 17 years and has had these types of window displays for 17 years. And there hasn't been an issue with them until now. So we certainly do appreciate any support that you can give us as far as keeping our signage
well,
bright.
Well, to be accurate, it's only been a couple of years since we put up these kind of signs.
These types of signs. But you've had other graphics in your windows since the beginning of time.
But when we changed it is when things just came unglued.
So we do appreciate your support.
Okay, thank you very much. And Eric's right in the back available for you. Thank you so much. And so with that, we'll go on to Chuck Schrader.
My My name is Chuck Schrader. I've been in retirement for the last 3 years, but I was a past city employee, and I can relate to people like Ken and other employees I've worked with in the past with their problems with employment and having pay cuts and stuff. But I wish to address it from a different point of view. I see an opportunity where the city could bring in a new employee in the city, and I would like to bring it to the city's attention. Everyone knows that KNSD is Channel 39. They're the NBC affiliate for the San Diego area. I got this off their website, KNSD moving out of downtown San Diego. And the article goes as follows. KNSD San Diego is moving out of its downtown neighborhood by the end of year 2016 with an eye on a new suburban location, reports the San Diego Public Broadcasting, KPBS. Richard Kelly, KNSD president and general manager, confirmed that development in a statement. KNSD will not be renewing our new lease at 225 Broadway, which expires in 2021. He says, because of the eventuality of the move, we are accelerating our plans to find a new location that provides our employees an affordable amenities and improved workplace, along with an updated, more versatile facility for news. And additionally, we are looking for better access to county main thoroughfares, which will provide more comprehensive and timely local news coverage for our viewers. Well, I would like to point out that it says here specifically they're looking for a new suburban location. Chula Vista is definitely a suburb of San Diego. And we have several facilities here in Chula Vista which would be ideal for the new location of KNSD since they're looking for a new place to build their station. For example, right up here on 4th Street, just up the street from City Hall, we have the old Target building, which they moved out a couple of years ago. That's a big rectangular building. They could easily put studios and offices in there. It's got adequate parking. It's immediate access to the freeway. And you can see the station from the freeway, so they can light it up and make it very attractive. This would be an ideal location for them. We also have Roar right over here off of 5. We have several old buildings from Roar, which could easily be turned into a television studio. Another access place we could have would be the old Kmart over here on 3rd. Another place is a possibility if they want to build something from scratch. We have right here on 3rd Avenue where the Safeway store used to be, where a store I used to work in. What's there right now is just a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and it's a big open lot. They can build whatever they want there. And the city council in the past has been talking about how they want to improve and build up 3rd Avenue. Perfect. So I would like to the city to consider this possibility. This article is off of KNSD's website. If you go to KNSD and you pull up the thing, they have little numbers at the bottom of the page. It's page 4. That's the second one from the top.
Thank you, Here's Mr. Schrader. Article. Yes, thank you very much, and thank you for bringing it to our attention.
I wish to give it to City Council.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next, we'll have Michaela Milligan. Thank you.
Sure.
Is it Michaela?
It's not. It's Michaela, but you're close.
Michaela. Okay.
Yeah, but you can just call me Mickey.
Okay, great.
I'm Michaela Milliken. I work with SEIU 221, and I'm here to just share some thoughts about the process of negotiations happening with the SEIU CVA bargaining table. And I will be very brief. I'm sure I'll hit my timeline, no problem. So, like I said, I work there. I've had the great pleasure this last few months of working with the CVA bargaining unit. You've met some of them. Over the years, I'm sure, but they're here with us tonight, and I just wanted to come share my experience with this group and to share that these folks really, you know, I came into the situation like some of the newer folks on your HR staff, meeting these folks for the first time and hearing their stories. And they bring up often, and I know you've heard it a lot of times, the sacrifices they've made over the years. the percentages that they gave up. And I think that they continue to bring that up, not to hammer home a point that they deserve more, but to indicate that it's their paychecks, their grocery bill, their rent. Those things have gone up and their paychecks haven't. And that hurts when you're raising families and you're working so hard for a city. And I do know that the reputation that Chula Vista has as a city is one of fabulous, high-quality services. It's an efficient and wonderful place to live and work, and these folks are the reason for that. And really, when we're at the table, when I'm here today, and when they're here behind me, we're really just talking about something fair, something reasonable, something that they can take home to their families, be proud of, feel valued, stick it out here in Chula Vista for the long run, because being competitive is important too. And that's really the message they want to keep giving you, is that we're here to be reasonable. We're bargaining in good faith as best we can, and we really hope that the council will support that your HR team does the same and sits down and sort of talks to us face-to-face with, here's what you have to offer, because we can see some improvement in that area. And I just want to take 1 second, and so you know the folks in this room that are CVEA, SEIU members, here to support their bargaining team, if they could just quietly stand up. Let's do this. She likes this. So thank you very much for your time, Madam Mayor and Council Members.
Thank you very much. And let's see, our last speaker is David Garcia. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. I'm David Garcia. I'm the president of SEIU Local 221, proud president of the Chula Vista Employees Association. We represent over 13,000 public employees. Many of them, about 1,500 of them, live here in Chula Vista, of our SEIU members. And we want to see, you know, these residents and our members really want to see a fair contract. You know, our members do those difficult jobs of, you know, cleaning our stormwater drains and repairing the streets and fixing the plumbing at the pools and collecting dogs, you know, stray dogs. Also, you know, the areas, the wilderness areas, making sure they're cut back to keep fire prevention. Working in a lot of different fields to make sure our city is, you know, maintained. And I'm a native, you know, Chula Vistan. I've lived here my whole life, you know, 52 years. And these members have sacrificed. When the economy was slow, they took it on the chin. They said, okay, we're going to take it and we will work with it. We'll work with the city, and they took some sacrifices to their detriment. Some of them went bankrupt. Some of them lost their homes. Some of them could not afford to even take care of their kids going to college. Many of them had a lot of sacrifices they had to deal with in their lives. And a lot of it had to do with the economy. We understand. But now it's time that the city now try to take care of that situation and really show the employees here that they do care for them, and equally with other bargaining units, because that is something that in this city has been a concern, that other bargaining units have fared differently than our bargaining unit, the CVEA. So it is really imperative that you show a balanced approach to our members so that they do feel valued and that they do know the city cares about them. The city employees really deserve better than nothing in the first year. They really deserve a contract that supplies fair wages for all the Chula Vista employees. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Garcia. And now we will move on to the public hearings, and we do have a time-certain item, which is agenda item number 20. thank you for waiting just a little bit past 6 o'clock. And this is a report by the Districting Commission on the recommended districting plan. And it's also going to be a resolution of the City Council approving the Districting Commission's recommended districting plan as the city's final districting plan. So I would now like to hear the report.
Thank you, and good evening, Madam Mayor and Council members. My report tonight, I'll be brief because this really is a report by your Districting Commission. It's the culmination of an effort that began in November 2012 with a voter-approved charter amendment, switching from at-will to district elections for the four City Council members. And over the last year, the city's Districting Commission has been working diligently and wholeheartedly to come to you with a recommended districting plan. And in accordance with the charter amendment, they have done significant public outreach. They prepared a draft districting plan, did more public outreach, and came together and on June 11th adopted a recommended districting plan. And we have submitted that along with the Districting Commission's report on that plan to you for your review and approval. We've noticed for tonight a public hearing, also in accordance with charter requirements. And if it is approved by the council tonight, it will become the city's final districting plan, and we will work with the city's consultant, Q2, to work with the County Registrar of Voters and get things in line for the 2016 elections. And with that, I will turn it over to the Districting Commission Chairperson, Jerome Torres.
Okay, and before we do that, I'd like to ask the city attorney, since he is a member of the public, but he's giving a report, as whether I open the public hearing at this time or later.
Madam Mayor, I would recommend waiting until after you hear your report so that public comment could respond to that report as well, if appropriate.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Torres.
Thank you, Jill. Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council. Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge and thank the following for their invaluable assistance and contribution in the districting process. My fellow commissioners, Reynaldo Mozon, Rita Buencamino Andrews, Cheryl Goddard, John Corey, William Richter, and Bernardo Vasquez, Jill Malin and Cheryl Pons from the City Attorney's Office, Ann Steinberger from the City Manager's Office, Southwest Strategies, who served as our outreach consultant, and Q2 Data and Research, who served as our mapping consultant. And also the community leaders and members, some who are here tonight, who participated in the process and especially in the public workshops. Thank you all for your dedication, participation, and passion. Additionally, I would like to thank the City Council itself for approving our requested budget adjustment this past January that enabled the Commission to undertake the robust and inclusive community outreach efforts envisioned in our outreach strategic work plan. As evidenced by our report, this additional funding was well worth the investment. It not only enabled the hiring of an outreach consultant, but also provided vitally important oral and written translation services that ensured participation by all interested members of our community. We thank the many community organizations who assisted in that process. The Districting Commission held two series of five public workshops throughout the city limits. In each series, two workshops were held on the west side, while three were held on the east side of the city. The first series of workshops were held between April the 7th through the 11th to solicit public testimony on the identifications of communities of interest, or as oftentimes referred to as COIs. On April 23rd and 24th, the Commission convened to deliberate on the formation of the draft districting plan that addressed these identified COIs while complying with the criteria set forth in the City Charter. Our deliberations were held in accordance with guidelines developed by the City Attorney. After considering several draft maps, the Commission approved by a 6-1 vote the draft districting plan that was disseminated to the general public. The second series of workshops were held between May 12th and 16th to solicit public input on the draft plan. Throughout this process, the Commission received considerable testimony in multiple languages, both written and oral, from interested residents of Chula Vista. On June 8th, the commission convened to deliberate on the formation of the recommended districting plan, which is before you tonight. Again, in accordance with guidelines developed by the city attorney, regarding the process for creating the plan, including the assignment of numbers. After public testimony, lengthy discussion, and compromise on behalf of all interested parties, the commission, by a vote of 5-2, approved the boundaries of the recommended districting plan. On June 11th, the commission reconvened to deliberate on the assignment of numbers to the newly formed districts. As stated in our report, the commission determined that based on overwhelming public testimony received by the commission, there was a compelling basis to ensure that the southwestern and southeastern districts be the first to have representatives elected to the city council in 2016. As a result, the commission voted 6-1 to randomly assign numbers 3 and 4 to those districts. The remaining two districts were randomly designated districts 1 and 2 for the election of representatives in 2018. In conclusion, the recommended districting plan fully complies with the criteria set forth in the city charter. During its deliberations, the commission was determined to openly and transparently put forth a plan that was not only legally defensible, but fair, equitable, and just as well. A plan that would be rooted in the willful and informed compromise of all concerned to represent the best interests of all Chula Vista residents. Therefore, on behalf of the Districting Commission, I respectfully ask for your unanimous support and approval of the recommended districting plan as presented. And with that, I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions for Mr. Torres? Ms. Aguilar?
Thank you, Mr. Torres. I read the report. It's a really, really excellent report. My question is, you didn't explain how you derived the numbering system, and so I wanted to ask you about that.
Well, councilor may want to opine on this, but basically we were given three variables of a random process. It was total randomness, informed randomness, and I can't remember the other one. But So basically, in our consideration of these alternatives and based on the testimony of the people present, we kind of did like a hybrid, if you will. It was an informed randomness. Because, again, based on the testimony that we received from people in what is now District 4 and in District 3, wanting to be first in the queue, if you will, to have representatives elected in 2016. But what we did, the random part came in the assignment of the numbers itself. So we basically said, okay, let's have these two districts come up first, randomly assign those numbers, and then the northern districts accordingly.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? No? Thank you very much for your report and your hard work as a chair.
Thank you.
It was a great commission that was put together. Thank you so much. I will now open the public hearing, and I do have a number of request to speak, and I will begin with Mr. Edward Aparis.
Good evening, Mayor Salas, members of the City Council, City Staff, City Manager, City Clerk, as well as City Attorney. My name is Edward Aparis, and I am a longtime resident of Chula Vista. I've returned to the city for a few years and then came back and lived here for 12 years. Since then, I've been working with underrepresented groups, particularly Filipino and other Asian Pacific Islander communities, known as APIs. Since then, we formed a network called the Civic Education Policy Advocacy Network, called CEPANET. And myself and my colleagues, I've co-head and spearheaded with these groups through the districting process at the very beginning in 2014. For us in CEPANET, Chula Vista Districting provided APIs a chance to let their voices be heard. It was the first time for many people to talk about their livelihoods in Chula Vista, their love for the city, and their desire to be part of the larger community. It was also a chance for the public to witness the diversity of API voices. Asian Pacific Islanders are not a single-minded group. But we are a multicultural community with rich backgrounds, diverse histories, and viewpoints. Every member of our community has at least one or two connections to Chula Vista that we are very passionate about, whether it's from family, friends, or how our parents and grandparents have struggled to make life for ourselves here in Chula Vista. What was the unifying force for this API group in the districting process was the idea that we could shape the communities we live and thrive in. Districting became a spark for many people, not just for APIs, but to express the desire to contribute to the greater good of Chula Vista. For the API community, one of the contributions is the proposal for the Asian Pacific American Culture and Economic Corridor, known as APACE. It was seen as a hub, and it was proposed by grassroots leaders in the Asian Pacific American community, and will be in District 3. So think of it as the convoy of the South, if you will. APACE is seen as a place to foster businesses, cultural events, and educational projects on the grassroots level. The APACE corridor aims to harness and partner with existing recreational centers, schools, and local businesses. It is also seen as a place where all people, not just APIs, but all Chula Vistans and others, regardless of their ethnic background, to collaborate cross-culturally and to do projects in the community. During the districting process, APACE became more than an Asian thing. Our supporters grew and expanded from all backgrounds, APIs and non-APIs alike, college students in Southwestern College and other various residents. What unified all of us for APACE went beyond ethnicity. It was the goal of creating a common good that APACE promoted, economic development, education, and cultural celebration for all Chula Vista. The districting process gave all people an opportunity to contribute for the first time the ideas to shape their lives and destinies in this city. For the API community, we support full-heartedly the Districting Commission's recommended plan. The Commission has taken good care of all community voices and have been mindful of the legal criteria. We fully support the Commission's work at the very beginning of this process in 2014, and we ask you to vote in full of support of the recommended districting plan. How you will vote will speak to generations of leaders like myself, not just in the API community, but for all communities and groups in Chula Vista. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Dr. Aurora Cudell.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor Salas and City Council members. I am Dr. Aurora Cudell. I'm a member of the Filipino-American Senior Citizens Association and past region chair of the National Federation of Filipino-American Associations. I've lived in downtown Chula Vista for 20 years. And I'm also a voter, and I serve as a member of the Housing Advisory Council of the city of Chula Vista 5 years ago. I've been a longtime community advocate to empower Filipino Americans in San Diego County. I've been actively involved in this districting process and have testified before the Chula Vista Districting Commission during its public hearings. This final map includes keeping 27% of APIs, or Asian Pacific Islanders, in District 3. There was significant community of interest testimony from the Filipino and other Asian community residents to keep Sanbo, Oterans, and the APACE corridor in the same district. This is where a majority of the Filipino community live. This map respects our community of interest testimony in that regard. District 3, as drawn, will enable our community to have a meaningful voice to elect a candidate of choice who will live in this district and will be held accountable to the issues important to our community. I therefore support the Chula Vista Districting Commission's recommended districting plan, which was approved on June 11th. I respectfully request that you approve this recommended districting plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Dr. Cattell. Next, we'll C.L. Vincent.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Mayor, members of the City Council. I am Carmelita C.L. Vincent. I am a resident of Chula Vista Bonita area since 1986. That shows my age. Whereas being a member of the board of the Asian Real Estate Association of America, whereas being a member of the board of the Chula Vista Rotary Club, whereas having served 8 years as a commissioner for the city of Chula Vista, whereas having served 3 terms as the president of the Filipino-American Chamber of Commerce for the whole San Diego County, whereas I am a concerned resident of the Chula Vista, I would like to express my appreciation to the commissioners for the districting of the Chula Vista. It has been a long and tedious work for them as volunteers for our community. I respectfully request that the City Council approve the recommendation of the commissioners. For this, I would like to thank them in behalf of the residents and friends of Chula Vista. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Melly Ferrer, followed by Juanito Amor.
Good afternoon, Mayor Salas, council members. Good evening, if it's not good afternoon. I think we're going there. My name is Merle Ferrer, and I am a longtime resident of Chula Vista, 30 years to be exact. I am an RN by profession, or trade, as we may want to call it. And I have been actively involved in the Chula Vista districting process beginning in 2014, including testifying at the public hearings before the Chula Vista Districting Commission in April and May of this year. Our Filipino community turned out in significant numbers to support keeping API neighborhoods like Sunbow and Otay Ranch together and not split apart, as well as keeping most of the APACE corridor in the same district. Faced with numerous competing testimonies, the Districting Commission drew this final map, which balances the community of interest testimony with the other districting criteria. Overall, this map keeps a significant percentage of APIs in District 3. This will allow our API community to have a meaningful voice in electing a candidate of choice next year. I support the Districting Commission's recommended districting plan approved on July 11th. I respectfully request that you approve this map. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ferrer. And I forgot to mention that you are not only a Chula Vista City resident, but you're representing the Philippine Nurses Association of San Diego. Thank you for being here. And Mr. Juanito Amor, representing the Filipino American Youth Organization.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor Salas and Honorable Council Members and City Staff. My name is Juanito Amor Jr., and I'm one of those who are, I'm not a resident of Chula Vista. I'm a resident of Oceanside, but my heart is here. My roots are here. My family is here. My dad and mom and my sister have a family of heritage, and my little nephew running around in the park. So my heart is here.
Come back.
Will do. When the price go down a little bit, when I can afford it. Thank you. And again, I want to appreciate you, actually, for approving and taking your time to actually show the diversity that during the workshop that I was a part of, I was proud to say that you were able to have a Filipino, Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese language translators and written materials that is important for our community. And that's an awesome. And we honor that diversity that you have given to us. On behalf of the Philippine American Youth Organization, as a mentor and a founder, we do have a mentorship program that talks about our culture, our history, and this is what we mentor with the younger students. From having a club in Pakakaisa, Southwestern College, and also the young professionals to mentor the high school students, we can actually see that. And having Filipino classes, and that our beautiful teachers that are here, our Filipino teachers that are here tonight, to actually, you know, be here to support that. Because I commend that, because as a student, when I was their student, I want to say to them that, you know what, you have given me a chance to actually present our culture and our beautiful teachings for our community. That's the reason why, even though I'm far away, I'm still here at least once a week. And with that, we'd like to support the districting plan that we have approved by the commissioners in July 11th. Again, thank you, and we're here for you.
Thank you so much. Next, we'll hear from Vanji Meneses, and representing the Council of Philippine American Organizations. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Mayor, Honorable Council members, and city staff. I am Dr. Evangeline Meneses, and as President of the Council of Philippine American Organizations of San Diego County, also known as COPAO, I want to express our support of the Chula Vista Districting Plan. This districting plan essentially solidifies the Asian Pacific Islander neighborhoods, as well as the Asian Pacific American Cultural and Economic APACE Corridor in District 3 that includes Southwestern College and the University area. The APACE Corridor encompasses a series of connecting streets from East Naples Street and Oleander Avenue that continues uninterrupted to EH Street and Otay Lakes Road. The strength of the APACE Corridor is that it is an inclusive and diverse destination area for all people to keep cultural, educational, and economic activities within the city of Chula Vista. I am proud and humbled to represent COPAO, which is the oldest Asian Pacific Islander organization in San Diego County. With over 40 years of service to the community, COPAO has served as the voice of the large and growing Filipino-American community. As you may be aware, the Filipino-American community of Chula Vista is the second largest ethnic cultural group in the city. COPAO has engaged in collaborative efforts through the Civic Education and Policy Advocacy Network and has worked with various API groups, individuals, residents, as well as non-API partners to outreach and actively engage Chula Vista residents since the inception of the districting process in 2014. We commend and support the Districting Commission's diligent work and their commitment to transparency and participation from all segments of the Chula Vista community. The districting process proactively fostered nonpartisan civic participation, and we are strongly committed to those principles. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of the Chula Vista Districting Plan.
Thank you, Dr. Meneses. Ramel Alberto, he is the Honorary Philippine Consul General of San Diego. We're honored to have you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of City Council. My name is actually, I'm Ramel Alberto. I'm here to deliver a message on behalf of the Philippine Honorary Consul of San Diego. His name is Audie De Castro. Although Mr. De Castro officially represents the Philippines, he is actually local born. He's a native of San Diego and a citizen of the United States. I would also like to add that he's a product of South Bay and former resident of East Lake. Mr. De Castro and a group of delegates from our community, including the Honorable National City Mayor Ron Morrison and Mr. Jason Paggio, the Policy and Outreach Advisor to the Honorable Council Member Steve Meissen, left for the Philippines last week to promote trade between the Philippines and San Diego County business entities. And tonight, The Honorable Ody de Castro is at home sick because of that whirlwind travel to the Philippines, so that's why I'm here. I shall now, for the record, read the Philippine Honorary Consul of San Diego's message. It states, "Dear Mayor and City Council members, as the Honorary Consul, I am the official representative of the Philippine government in San Diego County. My role includes providing consular services to the entire county, promoting diplomatic and trade relations, and promoting the interests of the nearly 200,000 Filipino-Americans in the county. I am writing to express my support of the districting plan as recommended by the Districting Commission. The plan fairly represents the longstanding Filipino-American community in Chula Vista, which represents the second largest ethnic minority in Chula Vista. I also support the plan because it includes the Asian Pacific American Cultural Economic Corridor, known as APEIS. Inclusion of APEIS in the proposed Green District, or District 3, would be consistent with the demographics of the area. It would also most likely help attract Philippine-based businesses seeking to expand into San Diego County. In recent years, the Philippine economy has experienced explosive growth and is now considered one of the fastest-growing economies in the world. Many of its businesses have expanded into San Diego County, into areas that are known to be inclusive of the Filipino-American community. I respectfully request that you support the districting plan, and thank you for your consideration. Sincerely, signed, Ody J. De Castro, Philippine Honorary Consul." Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alberto, for representing the Honorary Philippine Consul General. And with that, we will move on to Tom Hom, representing himself. Welcome, Mr. Hom.
I'm Tom Hom, Madam Mayor and members of the council. It's a pleasure to be here. 15 years ago, I moved from San Diego to Chula Vista. Chula Vista continues to be a great city. And when I serve on the city council, I serve 8 years there before I went to the state. And sitting in council meetings, we often compare cities, how they operate. And we always agree that Chula Vista was one of the finest run cities in Southern California, meeting the budget and being efficient. So as a city grows, like the city of San Diego grew, instead of citywide election, we cut it up into district elections. I was there as part of it. So here I am being part of this as a person in Chula Vista. So I urge you to adopt the plan that has been submitted. I work with Copao, wonderful people, and with other people as well. Chula Vista is such an outstanding community. We love it. After I move here, two of my daughters move here as well. So we live in Otay Ranch and East Lake. So anyway, I'm asking you to adopt the plan. A lot of work went into it, compromises as well. And adopting that, it will make Chula Vista even a better place. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hom. Michael Wong, representing the Asian Pacific American Coalition, APAC.
Hi, good evening. My name is Michael Wong, Honorable Mayor Salas, City Council members. My name is Michael Wong. I am the chairman of APAC, and I'm also a property owner in what is proposed to be District 1. APAC's mission is to educate, engage, and empower San Diego County's Asian Pacific American community. APAC is passionate about the districting process and historically has been a key advocate in advancing civic engagement for the API community throughout the United States. More recently, APAC was prominently involved in the City of San Diego's latest redistricting process and hopes that the efforts and testimony provided by so many API community members in Chula Vista is as well received and just as with its good results. With the API community representing more than 15% of the population in Chula Vista and operating about 15% of the businesses, this districting process is important to the API community. This is why we have been clear about our support for the recommended districting plan voted by the Chula Vista Districting Commission on June 11, 2015. The plan incorporates the proposed university and innovation district while maintaining Southwestern College in the Green District. These anchoring institutions provide a much-desired stability for education, culture, and economic programs. In addition, the plan supports the Pacific Rim STEM program, which will benefit future educational and economic opportunities along the APACE corridor. In closing, APAC fully understands the challenges of this districting effort, and thank you for keeping this districting process fair and transparent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. Tino Martinez, representing the Southwest Civic Association. Welcome, Tino.
Hey, good evening, Madam Mayor, Council, and the city staff. First, I want to publicly thank and let you know what a hard work Commissioner Torres and the commission did for the sake of our city. There were some nights where they were there, we were there. Well, I wasn't there as long as they were, but there were some long, long nights. And again, it was a volunteer position, and it's something our city really, 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 really needed. I'm really excited for the future, for not only the community, which I represent, the Southwest, but the entire city. I really believe it's going to bring more representation, more accountability to the person who we vet. Easier too to vet a candidate in your community rather than all five seats. I want to also point out the hard work that Mr. Glenn Guggins did. There was a lot of great advice. Again, he stuck it out. I know he had a lot on his plate during this time too, and I'm going down the road. Of course, Miss Ann Steinberger. I forget the lady who clicked away her heart. She did a lot of hard work too, and also just the presence of Mr. Jonathan Stein from the ACLU just brought a sense of transparency and security to the whole process. And I want to thank the council for not making any waves that we heard at all during the process. It was very, very transparent. It was very it was done the way Mr. Guggen's advice needed to be done. The outreach effort was tremendous. The way we were able to translate for all these languages, it was awesome. It was a great experience. Sorry you guys weren't invited to watch, but it was a great experience to see our city involved in this process. Every community of interest that came out and spoke, you heard the heart and the testimony, and our commission listened. It was, again, something Chula Vista really, really, really needs. Another point here is well, let me just wrap it up with please support the recommended plan that the commission worked so hard in doing. We believe this is the right thing to do. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to invite the last speaker that's put in a slip for this agenda item, and that's Ms. Joanne Fields.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Joanne Fields, and I want to first and foremost thank all of you for the opportunity to be a part of the team of Southwest Strategies to conduct the outreach for this historic process of districting in the city of Chula Vista. I want to really thank our commission, Chairman Torres, and all the commissioners for their perseverance and dedication, putting in the long volunteer hours to hear the entire testimony throughout the whole city in two cycles. I also appreciate that we have four languages that were represented. I have worked with four elected official offices and have been to a lot of meetings and events, and I've never been to a meeting where four different languages that are prominent in their community to be represented at every meeting in writing and in translation. So thank you for that. As a former staffer of the City Council, I'm excited to see that we will have districts in the city of Chula Vista, because it is hard to be either full or part-time staff and be a staff of one to field calls for the whole city. So as you know, this should be able to be not just responsive to the constituents that you represent, but also to be able to concentrate on the areas that you represent so that we can have quicker response that the citizens do deserve, and less stress for you, because it's not now the whole city, and that's up to our mayor to take care of that with her staff. So I'm excited for that process. As a mom, I was excited to hear what my kids thought about where the boundaries should lie. They don't care for politics, or so they say. But as I tell them, it's not just what you know, it's who you know. And what they know about this process, and hearing them why Southwestern needs to be in a district so that a right turning lane can be addressed that's dedicated on the north side of Southwestern, and just hearing them and just listening to them in their participation and their way of participating was exciting as a mom. But as a resident, and also having worked with other outreach teams, it was great to hear from so many segments of the community, whether they were a yacht owner at the J Street Marina or attending the Eastlake Business Association meetings and every meeting in between. It was great to hear everyone's passion and participation in this process that we usually don't have. So I hope as we move forward that you could, may consider to continue, whether it's with us or not. But it was really good to hear that people do appreciate hearing from the city through an outreach team to know what is going on and what is the process of participation and how to participate. So thank you for that. But as a citizen, I would like to endorse the proposed plan and hope you will adopt it tonight so that we can move forward and have our first cycle of elections and elect our first city council district representatives. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Fields. And now I will close the public hearing. And before I turn it over for questions or comments to the council members, I would really like to say thank you so much for the work that our districting commission did. It was thoughtful, it was thorough, it was respectful, it was inclusive, it was transparent. And another thing that was really awesome about this whole process is the level of civic engagement that we've seen in Chula Vista. Civic engagement, very positive civic engagement that we haven't seen in a long time, even if ever to this degree. And I certainly hope, no matter what the outcome is tonight, whether we wholeheartedly endorse everything that you've put forward, I think that what I would really like to see is that the group that has gotten together, all the organizations that have gotten together through this process, that you know that you continue, that there will be other issues of interest that you need to be a participant about, and that we really want, as council members, as the mayor and the council, that we really need to hear the voices of the public, and we don't hear it enough. We don't have enough of our community coming to the city council's council meetings and really voicing their opinions to us. It's really few people that do that, and sometimes the few people that do come to the city council aren't representative of the city at large. So for whatever you do once you disperse tonight, I certainly hope that you keep that energy and that sense of community and that sense of cohesiveness as you go forward. and that you also explain to the rest of your friends and family that live here in Chula Vista how much that you gained from the experience and how you made your city a better place to live as a result of your direct participation. I mean, this was really an exercise and a wonderful example of democracy at work, and I'm so proud of all the work that you did, and I'm so proud to be living in Chula Vista, knowing that so many caring people also live in the city of Chula Vista. Are there any other council members that would like to make any comments? Ms. Aguilar?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I too am so grateful to the work of the districting commission, and one of the speakers mentioned this, but I think one of the reasons that the commission was able to get its work done in the way that it did was because the council stayed out of it. So I think that was really, really, really important. I agree with the mayor that this is an example of the kind of outreach and community participation that I would dearly love to see more of. I think the last time that I was associated with anything in Chula Vista that had this much community involvement was in the first years of the 21st century when we worked on the general plan update. That too was a bottom up participation process where there was a lot of work that was done throughout the community on the ground. Mr. Torres, I gave you a little bit of hassle about your budget when you came and asked for an augmentation to your budget. You mentioned in your remarks that you felt that the amount that the council eventually allocated was well worth it, and I want to let you know that I agree. I think it was money well spent. So just to sum up, I'm really thankful and grateful for all of your hard work, Mr. Torres. I've been in positions like yours where you've had to balance a lot of different communities of interest, and it's very messy and very hard and very difficult when you're going through it, but the outcome is usually worth it, as I think it is today. And unless there are other comments, I'd be happy to make the motion to approve the plan.
I'm going to exercise a mayor's prerogative on this one and allow you to make the second.
Okay, I'll take it.
I would like to move the resolution of the City Council approving the Districting Commission's recommended just as it is districting plan as the city's final districting plan. Second. And seconded by Ms. Aguilar. Ms. Bensusan?
I'm also in favor of, we'll vote yes on this, but I just had a question. Is that white area in the green zone, is that OVRP?
It's a
landfill.
That's a landfill.
Yes. County
okay.
Landfill.
The county owns that. Okay. Then OVRP would be south of the green zone. Okay. Just curious. And I do support this plan, but I would like for the benefit of the public, if you could explain what I've heard to be true about the process of what we're doing tonight and how if we didn't approve it or we wanted to change it, what would happen?
Certainly, Madam Mayor, Councilmember Bensusan, you have two choices tonight. One is to approve the plan as presented. The second option is to reject the plan and send it back to the Districting Commission with your comments as to why you rejected the plan. If you were to do that, and a majority vote of you would be sufficient to do that, the Districting Commission would then convene, consider your comments, and either make adjustments to the plan, you know, based on your comments or otherwise, or not make any adjustments to the plan and adopt the plan as they presented to you. if they were to do that, or whatever they would do, that would then come back to you. And at that point, you really would be more in an administrative mode. You would not have any further opportunity to comment or reject the plan. You would, in effect, have to take what the Districting Commission did with your comments and carry those forward.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. I just thought that process was quite odd. As it is, I have no objections to the plan. But if I did have objections to the plan, I just thought that was a very odd process. And
yeah, and I think
how that came to be, because I don't think that was in the ballot measure.
It was actually in the ballot measure. It wasn't something that was talked a lot about. One of the objectives of the Charter Review Commission in putting this construct, you know, together that was then approved by the people and then implemented so well, I think, by the Districting Commission and the public in providing their input, was to develop a plan that ultimately, of course, the City Council would have the opportunity to approve, but with checks and balances as to how it got, you know, to you along the way, and with limited authority on your part in order to modify, you know, the process conducted by the public and the Districting Commission, expressly, you know, contemplated without your involvement. And so it is a little bit odd. I think it's one of those, you know, examples of how in policymaking you kind of wrestle with trying to get the right balance and checks and balances between ultimate policymakers and other groups that are supposed to be independent of your influence putting the plans together.
Well, thank you for that explanation. I was, from the onset, very much in favor of the council keeping arm's length from the whole process. So I appreciate your explanation of that procedure. And when we're ready to vote, I'm
Mr. Meissen?
Thank you. Thanks for the explanation, too. I was going to ask something similar because I was also surprised to see how the process worked. But compliments to the commission and Mr. Torres. No opposition, you know, speaking here. So that means that you did a fine job of you know, getting comments and getting feedback in your process. So that is great. And certainly not an easy task, input from your community. And I, too, was watching from afar, sort of wishing I could be there to hear a little more what was going on. But the process was transparent. The process was well advertised. And I know everyone was begging for people to come and speak and reaching out to people. So great job. And I wait for the vote.
Thank you. Mr. McCann.
I wanted to thank Mr. Torres and the commissioners. You guys did a great job. I want to thank the city attorney, Ms. Malin, Mrs. Steinberg, for advertising this. I think this was a great process. I think there were a lot of people who gave good input. I want to thank all the supporters who came out and gave us these letters. I think you guys are right on. The greatness about Chula Vista is everybody is able to work together and be able to try to accomplish the same goals and make this city better. So thank you very much, and looking very forward to seeing the process go. And I would encourage all those people who were involved to stay involved. This is just one challenge, and we have many other great challenges and great things that will happen in the city of Chula Vista, and you have the opportunity to be part of that process. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Aguilar.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I neglected to say earlier in my remarks that I feel like somebody should say that this is really a historic event in the city of Chula Vista. We're over 100 years old. During those 100 years, the city has grown an awful lot. And I was on the council in, I think it was in 2011, when the council voted to put this matter on the ballot so the voters could decide whether or not it was time for Chula Vista to have districts. And I was proud to vote to put it on the ballot. Once it got on the ballot, it received overwhelming support by the voters. I think it was like 66% or 67% of the voters voted in favor of it. So that shows people really, really wanted to do that, wanted to do this. So I feel like we need to have some bubbly here, some champagne. I mean, this is really a historic event.
Martinelli's.
You know? Yeah. Martinelli's.
We actually can talk to the commissioners now that
right. Exactly. Yeah. We should all go out for a drink after. But this is really a historic day, an historic event in the history of the city of Chula Vista. The people have spoken, and this is democracy in action. So I just felt a need to point that out. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you that you did, because it is cause for celebration. And Mr. City Attorney, you worked so hard on this. We'll let you have the last word.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If you may indulge me for a minute, I really, more than anything, wanted to commend everyone who was involved with this process, certainly starting with staff, Jill Malin from my office, as the commission probably appreciates, and the public more than anyone, was there from the very beginning. Staffing virtually every commission meeting, really providing great researched advice and sometimes, you know, timely, extemporaneous, you know, advice as issues came up, and really put quite a bit of work into this. Ann Steinberger and her group also there at virtually every meeting and providing a lot of support in a complex public outreach process, maybe of an unprecedented, you know, range in terms of the types of outreach and the both the qualitative and quantitative amount of outreach to get the word out, you know, to folks. Support from staff both in my office and the city clerk, Cheryl Pons and Donna, for so much of the meetings and in making sure all the packages were put together and all the good information that was being provided was synthesized and presented back on a timely basis for the district commission so that they could act on it. The commission itself really did yeoman's duty above and beyond, led by the hardest working chair in districting business, certainly Chair Torres, really did a lot of work and drove the process in a very, you know, constructive way with a lot of help from his commissioners. There were many meetings and long hours, but they really kept constructive and well engaged throughout. And then certainly the public, both from the individual person that was described who came and just talked about their neighborhood, to the more organized, you know, groups that gathered people and presented, you know, in even more sophisticated ways and described their communities of interest, to the ACLU, a national interest and advocacy group that assisted with outreach and guidelines. Everybody engaged with one another so, you know, constructively over such a long period of time. I was very impressed with that. And it was quite an odyssey. I think the job Chairman Torres did in presenting it was so compact and professional. It almost undersold, you know, the complexity of this project with the administrative aspects, the public outreach aspects, the policy making and best practice, you know, aspects, legal parameters, do's and don'ts with federal, state, you know, and local laws all applying. Often these interests were competing interests and needed to balance, you know, be balanced with one another. But everyone really navigated it, you know, together very constructively. And it was the first time, you know, most of us, you know, had done this. Chairman Torres had experience with it before, which ended up being very helpful. But it was the first effort, and the way that it all came together. I know Jill and Ann feel the same way. It's really kind of a proud thing for us to be associated with it. And they ended up with a very, very sound outcome that we're very comfortable recommending to you as being, you know, legally appropriate and transparent and appropriate in all respects. So thank you, Madam Mayor, for allowing me to comment on that. It was a great experience for all of us.
Thank you, City Attorney Glenn Guggen. And with that, Madam Clerk, will you read the heading?
Item 20 is a resolution of the City Council approving the Districting Commission's recommended districting plan as the city's final districting plan.
All members vote. It passes unanimously, and I think that this is an occasion to clap. Yeah. Thank you very much, and that concludes the time item certain of item agenda number 20.
With all due respect, Madam Mayor, this historic event is also a Kodak moment. So, with your concurrence,
right.
We'd like to ask everybody who's involved in it or everybody who just wants to be in it to stand right here in front. And so, and I will ask all of you to stand up also so you can be in it.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to have to squash in together.
Yes. Guys.
Get everybody.
Guys. Hold up a moment.
I would like to ask everyone to come up, please.
Oh. Did we have fun?
We would go in front.
We can push forward.
Yeah, push forward. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming, Mr. Hall. Thank you. But were you Mr. Tom Hom with the Tom Hom, or was that a cousin? Okay.
Congratulations.
Oh, yes, you're so awesome. You did a good job. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, no, you did the work. Thank you. Wasn't us.
Hold on. Please take your hand. I've heard so much about you.
Thank you, Dr. Vidal. And let me tell you, it took a lot of discipline to stay away.
Thank you.
Aurora, how are you, sweetie? Yeah, we're gonna Steve.
Stay over there.
Yeah.
Okay, take me along.
Come on, everybody. We have city talk, or we don't.
Yes.
They do.
This one is big.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Oh, you want to join?
Yeah.
All right.
Can I join?
Yeah. Yay, Jerome.
Okay. Sorry, I was trying to get out of dogs. All right, squeeze in from the left and the right.
Squeeze in, guys.
Squeeze. I think we got everybody. One, two, smile. One more time. One, two, smile. Outstanding.
Okay.
All right. All right. Yep. All right. This camera. One, two, smile. Okay.
Two more.
Thank you. Okay, what's the hashtag?
Okay. All right, here. Here.
Tori.
Sprung.
Okay. All right, ready? One, two. Hold on, it's on the left. One, two, smile.
One more.
All right.
All right.
Yay. Thank you.
Sir.
Thank you so much. Yeah, do that.
Take care.
Thank you, Rita.
Thank you,
Mr. Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Huh?
That's the point.
And hold on. Let's do it, the three of us. Come on. Yung video, it's uploaded already, but it's only you, me, and Audi can see it first, because Audi has to approve it before I open it to the public. So, ano na?
There na.
Yes.
Oh, you! How are you doing?
Pretty good, thank you. I'm here supporting Carmelita.
You are here supporting Carmelita?
Yes.
Oh, one more second. Let's get back to business. Council members.
I mean, I agree with the concept, but I just wanted to clarify that you have had representation.
Thank you so much.
I'll go
I know everybody's in a parting mood, but we have to get back to business. Okay, thank you. All right, next on the agenda under public hearings is item 16, and that is consideration of accepting the 2015 Salt Creek Sewer Basin Development Impact Fee Study and amending the ordinance for the Salt Creek Sewer Basin Development Impact Fee. And do we have a staff report?
Madam Mayor, seeing that this is right next to my house where I live, I need to recuse myself from.
Okay, we'll see you after the vote. Councilmember McCann is recusing himself from this item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor Casillas-Salas. We have a presentation if you would like to see one. Otherwise, we can forego the presentation.
Since this is a matter of housekeeping, Ms. Bensusan? Is that an old one?
No,
never mind. Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if my colleagues didn't need a presentation, I was going to move the item.
Okay, first I'll open the public hearing. I have no request to speak on this item. I will close the public hearing, and Ms. Bensusan has the motion.
Yes, move to approve.
Do I hear a second? Second. Second by Councilmember Aguilar. Madam Clerk?
Item 16A, resolution of the City Council accepting the 2015 Salt Creek Sewer Basin Development Impact Fee Study. And 16B, ordinance of the City of Chula Vista amending the Salt Creek Sewer Basin Development Impact Fee. First reading.
All members vote. It passes with Council Member McCann abstaining. Next, we will go on to item number 19. And is there a council member that needs to... Excuse me. Item 17, which is a consideration of testimony for the fiscal year 2016 and the levy of assessments and collection against those assessments for certain open space maintenance districts. And I know that there are some recusals that have to be made on this particular item under different resolutions. Mr. City Attorney, will you please explain the conflicts?
Sure. Yes, Madam Mayor. This item, as is traditionally the case, is broken up into a variety of different sub-actions in order to allow council members with conflicts of interest to recuse themselves on those individual items. Item 17A, you are all cleared to participate and approve on item 17A. Under item 17B, Councilmember McCann has a property interest either within or immediately adjacent to the district that warrants his recusal. On item 17C, Councilmember Aguilar has a property interest either within or immediately adjacent to the area affected to warrant her recusal. Item 17D, similarly, the situation, Madam Mayor, for you yourself requires a recusal. Item 17E, as a result of proximity of property interests, requires recusal by both Council Members McCann and Council Member Aguilar. And finally, on item 17F, Council Member Meisen has a property interest either within or immediately adjacent to that district requiring that him not to participate. So when those items are taken up, Madam Mayor, the parties with recusal should not participate in either motions, seconds, or, of course, votes on those items, and abstentions will be entered into the record to reflect that. Thank you,
okay.
Madam Mayor.
All right. So at this point, Ms. Bensusan?
Since I'm the only one without any abstentions, I was going to offer to make the motion.
Well, Ms. Bensusan, I think you should make the motion and... let's see. I was supposed to hand it over.
Madam Mayor, I think we have a public hearing
right.
On this first that we should conduct. I'm
right.
Assuming staff doesn't have staff report but is available to answer questions. So, Madam Mayor, my recommendation would be to conduct the public hearing and then take the items up one at a time.
Okay, great. And so I will open the public hearing. I have no request to speak, so I will close the public hearing. And with that, I would like to offer Resolution A. Will all members that are this is one that members
second.
Can vote in. Okay, thank you. So, well, actually, Ms. Bensusan offered that one. So it's okay. A first with Bensusan, a second with McCann. Okay, all members vote.
Aye.
Oh, yes, the clerk needs to read.
So this is 17A, resolution of the City Council levying the assessments and collectibles for the fiscal year 2015-16 for City Open Space Districts 2 through 7, 11, 14, 15, 17, 18, 23, 24, 26, 31, and 33, and Bay Boulevard Maintenance District.
All members vote. It passes unanimously.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And item B, Councilmember McCann will be recusing himself.
Yes, so I will offer resolution B. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Aguilar. All members vote that can vote. Madam Clerk, read the heading.
17B, resolution of the City Council levying the assessments and collectibles for the fiscal year 2015-16 for City Open Space Maintenance District Number 1.
Thank you. All members vote. It passes unanimously with an abstention by Councilmember McCann.
Madam Mayor, item C, all members can participate except Councilmember Aguilar.
Okay.
I move.
Moved by Councilmember
Second.
Meissen. Seconded by McCann. All members vote who can vote. Oh, read the heading,
17.
Madam Mayor.
17C is resolution of the City Council levying the assessments and collectibles for the fiscal year 2015-16 for City Open Space Maintenance District Number 8.
All members vote who can vote. Motion passes with Ms. Aguilar abstaining.
Madam Mayor, item number D, you should turn over to Deputy Mayor Ben Soussan.
Is there a motion for item number
D? So moved.
D?
Second.
Moved by Councilmember McCann, second by Meissen. Clerk, please, Madam Clerk, read the heading.
17D, resolution of the City Council levying the assessments and collectibles for the fiscal year 2015-16 for City Open Space Districts 9, 10, and the Town Center Maintenance District.
All vote, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Motion passes with one abstention. Sorry.
Was that what you call a pregnant pause?
Madam Mayor, item number E, all members can participate except Councilmember McCann and Councilmember Aguilar must recuse themselves.
Okay, I hear a motion.
I'm so moved.
And I'll second, but a quick question. This isn't a four-fifths vote required?
No, it's not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so let's see. We have a motion by Meissen, second by Ben Soussan. All members that can vote. No, read the heading, Madam Clerk.
17E is resolution of the City Council levying the assessments and collectibles for the fiscal year 2015-16 for City Open Space Maintenance District Number 20.
All members vote who can vote. Motion passes with an abstention by Aguilar and McCann.
And finally, Madam Mayor, item number F, Councilmember Meissen must recuse himself. All the others may participate.
I will move resolution F.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember McCann. Read the heading, Madam Clerk.
Item 17F, resolution of the City Council levying the assessments and collectibles for the fiscal year 2015-16 for East Lake Maintenance District Number 1.
All members vote desiring to vote. Motion passes with Meissen abstaining. Thank you very much. We ran through that one. Okay, so item number 18 is the consideration of the proposed assessment as to certain delinquent sewer charges as recorded liens. Is there a staff presentation?
No, we're available for questions.
Okay, are there any questions from the council members? I will open the public hearing. There are no requests to speak on this item. I will close the public hearing and request a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, moved by Bensusan, seconded by McCann. All members vote. Clerk.
Item 18, resolution of the City Council assessing certain delinquent sewer service charges as recorded liens upon the respective owner-occupied parcels of land and approving the placement of delinquent charges on the next regular tax bill for collection.
All members vote. Motion passes unanimously. Next, we do have item 19. Mr. City Attorney, can you explain any?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'll turn it over to Councilmember Meisen to explain the conflict he has on this item.
Okay.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I need to recuse myself because these are charges from Republic Services, and so it's probably appropriate that I do not vote on this.
Thank you very much. Do we have a staff report?
No, Madam Mayor, we do not.
Okay, so I will open the public hearing. There are no requests to speak on this item. I will close the public hearing and accept a motion.
Move to approve.
Ms. Bensusan first moves approval.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Aguilar. Madam Clerk.
Item 19, resolution of the City Council assessing certain delinquent solid waste service charges as recorded liens upon the respective parcels of land and approving the placement of delinquent charges on the next regular tax bill for collection.
All members vote who can vote. Restart? Okay. All members vote. So it passes with Mr. McCann absent and Mr. Meisen abstaining. Thank you very much. With that, we'll go on to the city manager's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no items for this evening.
All right. And then item 21 is a consideration of the appointment of a voting delegate and alternate for the 2015 Annual League of California Cities Conference to be held in San Jose. And I would request the council's approval that I am the primary voting member of that at the conference.
Move to approve.
Moved by Council Member or Deputy Mayor Bensusan.
Second.
Second by Mr. Meisen. Okay, please vote. All in favor, please vote. It passes. Thank you very much. And it also considers the alternate for the vote. And so I will ask for the council's approval to nominate Mr. Meisen for my alternate at the League of Cities Conference. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Deputy Mayor Bensusan. All in favor, please vote. Thank you very much. And as you know, that the conference is also open to any other member that would like to attend the conference. Moving on then is the consideration of ratification of appointments to the following boards and commissions. And this is a reappointment to the first term, with the initial term less than 2 years. And the names are here. I can read them, but they are a matter of record, unless you would like me to read the names and the commissions.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Councilmember McCann. Do I hear? Seconded by Councilmember Aguilar. And please vote.
Question?
Yes. Uh-huh. Ms. Bensusan does have a question.
Yeah, just for the city attorney, I thought the Board of Ethics appointments were made not by council, so I was a little confused on that.
Yeah, I'm seeing those there now for the first time as well. And I'll ask the clerk, are the reappointments handled the same way as the appointments, or are the reappointments available for city council approval?
It's not specifically addressed. The appointments themselves are.
Uh-huh.
So probably just
have we done? Is this the pattern and practice we've used? Yeah. So it sounds like the reappointments not specifically addressed in our pattern and practice has been to have city council re-upping our boards of our ethics commission members.
And you're sure that's compatible with our ordinance and charter? I just wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, this is how we've done it. The initial appointments are made, you know, in a different way, but the reappointments have historically been done in okay. this way.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's an issue with it, Councilmember Bensoussan, I'll bring it back. I'm confident with Ms. Norris's analysis of that. But if there's an issue, we'll bring it back.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is a valid point that you brought up, Ms. Bensoussan, in light of the situation that we're in right now. And as far as the appointments to the other charter commissions, they were done through a process that is facing a challenge now, so we're doing a reappointment.
Yes, an option for you, of course, would be to table those two for the next meeting. Give us a time to look at that and be comfortable with that process.
Yeah, I think so. So we're looking at, Planning Commission,
I understand.
The Growth Management and Oversight Commission, and the Civil Service Commission. So I think that we do. To exercise caution, I'm so glad that you caught that, that we should exercise caution and bring that back for the next meeting once we've had an opportunity.
I think that's a good idea as well, Madam Mayor. We'll pull those two and bring that back on the next agenda with a report from clerk and city attorney as to either confirming your ability to proceed with that or giving you an alternative process.
Okay, thank you.
I will amend my motion.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. So, in that case, then what we're doing is we're just considering Cultural Arts, International Friendship Commission, Commission on Aging. The library is also a charter one, isn't it? Is that a full vote of the council? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's fine.
That one's fine. Okay, and the RCC.
Yeah.
Okay, those are fine. So we'll be voting on those. Reappointments to the first term, excluding the Board of Ethics. Okay? And then the reappointments to a second term will be omitting Planning Commission, Growth Management and Oversight Commission, and the Civil Service Commission, and then accepting the balance of the commissions, which are Historic Preservation and Commission on Aging.
Accept the amendment.
Okay, and I forgot who seconded it. Did we have a second?
Not yet.
I'll second.
Okay. Ms. Bensoussan will second then. All vote, please. Okay. And then we're going to have recommendations to reappoint to the Youth Action Council. And that would be the names listed there, Isabel de Maguria, Elena Hoffman, Najib Caro, Matthew Modelo, and Eric Rodriguez. Members, do I hear a first?
Move to approve.
So moved.
Okay. Moved by McCann, seconded by Aguilar. Please vote. Okay. Thank you so much. And with that, I want to propose that we explore measures to strengthen and clarify the language in regards to term limits for consideration as a proposition to bring to the ballot that would either have council members who have served two full terms to be unable to run for any council seat or to wait a full 4 years from the time that they were termed out and able to be to run for office. And I think that it would be a matter for the Charter Review Commission to really vet out. And I know that it will be a long discussion with a lot of pros and cons on both sides. But I think that it would be more in line with what the voters had in mind when they enacted term limits here in our city. And it seems to be more to what the expectations are when it comes to term limits as a whole. So this is just I would like to have the concurrence of the council to be able to make that referral to the to the Charter Review.
Madam Mayor, if I might suggest, since it's a referral to another commission, that would take substantial action on this, and not just a referral to staff, which we could be done, I think, extemporaneously. I would ask that your request from the council would be to agendize this item on your next meeting.
Okay.
For a formal City Council referral to the Charter Review Commission.
Okay, and that'll give the council more opportunity.
Yes, because they really can't talk about it now.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right, so I would like concurrence to bring it back as an agenda item then. Okay, I'm seeing nods. Okay. I do have one member that's not so sure about it, or really, but we've got at least three, so we'll bring it back for a further discussion. Okay? Thank you. And I also want staff to look into our alarm ordinance, because we've been receiving a steady stream of concerns from constituents and small businesses. And what I want to do is not repeal the alarm ordinance, but look at the appeal process and just answer general questions about the responsibility of the alarm user and the alarm company when it comes to the responsibility of paying the fines, and also the responsibility of the third-party collection agency in regards to payment policy. And because it seems to me that unless I can get clarification that there's not a profit motive involved with the collection of these fines, I think that we should look at it, and I'd like the approval of staff or the concurrence of staff to bring this part of it, to examine this part, but not to repeal the ordinance in its entirety.
We can certainly look into that and bring it back to council at a later date.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Ms. Aguilar, did you have a comment?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. One last thing. It's been a real busy summer, and I wanted to let the public know that I had the honor of celebrating St. Paul's Love Gala this past Saturday here in Chula Vista. Deputy Mayor Ben Susan was there as well. What I really liked about this is that it gave Chula Vista the opportunity to invite people of the broader community that usually don't visit Chula Vista from North County and other areas, that really got a look at our new neighborhoods and what's going on in Chula Vista. And I think that events like that really serve to change the outside view and opinion about what Chula Vista is all about. And then I also wanted to let you know that that I had the opportunity to travel to Rosarito and to meet with the mayor of Rosarito at that time. And we talked about the shared goals that we have for economic development in the Cali Baja region. And I got to visit the interesting infrastructure projects that are happening there in Rosarito, and in particular the new convention center. So if any of you have the opportunity to go down there, I think that the convention center has a lot of similarities to what we're planning on the Bayfront in Chula Vista. So it might be an interesting excursion to go down there and how they see the state-of-the-art convention center that they've actually developed and opened. And it's really a big success. They're just having constant bookings there at that venue. So it might be interesting for all of us to go. So with that, and also with my visit to Rosarito, the mayor and I signed a memorandum of understanding just that would talk about the cultural similarities that we have in the city of Chula Vista. I'm having the document framed so we can have it out in the city council offices so that you can all see it. With that, I will pass it on to other council members' comments, beginning with Deputy Mayor Bensusan.
None.
Okay, none from Deputy Mayor Bensusan. Mr. Meissen?
No comments.
No comments. Okay. No grandkid stories or anything. Okay. Ms. Aguilar?
No comments.
Okay. Mr. McCann?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to thank all the Chula Vistans who participated in the Relay for Life. It was at Hillcrest Elementary School, and it was just amazing hearing all the survivor stories, and a great event. So thank you very much, and thank you for your support.
Thank you very much. City Attorney, do you have any comments?
Not tonight, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we do have, we will recess into closed session where we have a number of items to consider, including a conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A. The name of the case is the City of Chula Vista et al. Versus Tracy Sandoval as a San Diego County Auditor Controller et al. In the Sacramento Superior Court case number 34201480001723. I don't have to read that.
No, I can do short. I can do shorthand versions of them, Mayor, if you prefer. All cases will be considered City Chula Vista versus Bay&E, Inc., in addition to the one you mentioned, United States versus JM Manufacturing Company, the matter of Ruth West, designated as two cases, and Hess v. Hanneman as the final case. All of those will be discussed.
Okay, so we will recess into closed session, and then after that we will adjourn to the regular City Council meeting on July 21st at 5 p.m. in the council chambers. Thank you and good night.